Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 57.
The grand reopening of Club Pluto. Please welcome Miss Gina Lane.
All life is born of Gaia, and each life has a spirit. Each new spirit is housed in a physical body.
Doctor.
Go on.
Through their experiences on Earth, each spirit matures and grows. When the physical body dies, the mature spirit, enriched by its life on Earth, returns to Gaia, bringing with it the experiences, enabling Gaia to live and grow.
It's my old diary.
Hello, and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Zelag, and along with me, I have my good friend and co-host, Eric Susanna Williams.
Hello.
In this episode, we are beginning our month-long discussion of the five biggest box office flops of all time. Try saying that three times fast.
Yeah.
Before doing that, we would like to mention we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of their other shows. Okay. Darling, it's drink roll call time.
I am going with something a little outside of my norm, but it's still feminine, so don't be concerned about that. Yeah, I'm having a little margarita tonight.
Really?
Yeah, the little Jose Silver and the Finest Call mix.
Wow.
So it's an easy make. I didn't have any beer, and I didn't want to open a whole bottle of wine because I figured that would get interesting. So I'm just having this one little margarita is all. What about you? What do you got?
I'm drinking probably my favorite beer of all time, which is Burning Sky from Empyrean Ales.
Keeping it local. I like that.
It's so good. Uh-huh. I miss Better World Wheat, and every other time I go into Lazo's, I try to order it and the waiter is like, oh, well, we don't have that anymore. I'm like, I know.
I'm playing you, fool.
But Burning Sky is a great alternative. It's nice and flavorful and spicy.
Yeah. Yeah. So what we're doing, like Rachel said, was we're doing the top five, but we're only doing two movies this time around. And so I briefly looked, before we started recording to see, just to make sure that everything remained the same on the top five list.
Sure.
And it actually didn't.
Oh no!
Yeah, so as of recording, now I don't know if this is opened everywhere and if it's out of the theater or what, but as of recording, the Keanu Reeves film, 47 Ronin, is now number two of all time. So.
Did everything get pushed down?
Yeah, everything else got pushed down. So you'll have to excuse us with that. We're doing the top five.
As of last week.
Yeah, ignoring 47 Ronin. Which apparently a lot of the population did as well. So our first film is, it's number five, and it has reportedly lost $126 million, and it is 2002's film, The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
239,000 miles from Earth, in the blackness of space, there is a giant rock called the Moon. And in the year 2087, its future will be in the hands of one man. Eddie Murphy is...
Pluto Nash?
Pluto?
Pluto Nash?
It is a pleasure to meet me.
Come on, let's go!
The battle between pretty evil...
Let's get it right this time.
Pretty good.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Look at me.
Begins.
Well, we were thinking a little more, bubblage.
Hey!
Oh, yeah.
Eddie Murphy.
A pleasure to meet you, Pluto.
You married twins, huh?
No, they're not twins. I met the perfect woman, and then I had a clone.
Which one's which?
Who cares?
The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
Whoa! Why don't you take these Hillaries? We appreciate you helping us out.
After his successful nightclub is blown to flaming bits.
Much different than regular bits.
Right? Pluto and his band travel across the moon looking for clues as to who is behind the arson. Along with Bruno and Dina, Pluto visits a seedy motel, his secret hideout, and the casino of the most powerful man on the moon, searching for the evildoer, only to find out that the destruction of his club may have been his own fault.
Hmm. Okay, so what I don't want to do is just
tear it to bits.
Yeah, is I don't want to just dog on these films the whole time, because I feel like that's going to be a bummer for us after a while. Like, yeah, this one's also shitty.
So we should try to do silver linings?
Well, kind of. I'm thinking that we should at least see if there was something in there that was a good idea that maybe just wasn't executed right, or something that maybe had some potential to be worthwhile and it didn't pan out for whatever reason. And so that's kind of the way that I was going into these two films, in my mind anyway. And, you know, I'm not a huge Eddie Murphy fan in his recent stuff. I guess, like, going back farther than this, I guess. So maybe I just like him when he's in the 80s and early 90s. But I don't know. So this, you know, you kind of have to ask, like, this is a lot of movie loss. So obviously it cost a lot of money.
Right. That was my other question watching this. You know, I get why it did.
Mm-hmm.
So that sucks.
Right. Had you seen either of these before?
No.
Okay. did you know to avoid them, or were you just kind of like, oh, that's a thing? Like, cause for me, the second one, I didn't know anything about, and I was like, oh wow, I lost that much money.
Yeah. I didn't know that was the second one is a thing. This was more of like, it was kind of like you said, how later Eddie Murphy movie, like Coming to America is like probably one of my favorite movies.
Sure.
It's hilarious. And like anything later, like that I see in a trailer, like on TV or something, I don't even remember seeing this trailer, but I remember seeing like Haunted Mansion and the one where he has to like say a certain amount of words to get money. And I was like, oh, he's really going downhill. So I think like I kind of just didn't watch it because I was just assumed that I would be very annoyed by him.
Mm-hmm.
And cause like Eddie Murphy in the 80s and early 90s was like a totally different, cause now he just, I think in his movies, he's trying to be like a fast talker and does like really weird voices sometimes. And like, he's just really grasping at straws. And so I think that's why he kind of annoys me.
Yeah. It's almost like he's lost the confidence in his own comedic ability. So he's trying to like overcompensate.
Yes. Yeah. I totally agree with that.
Cause it's like, or maybe it's just not the style that I think is funny, because I'm not a big physical comedy person like this, I guess, or like how he is in, you know, when he's doing all the prosthetics with,
Oh God, yeah, that's him too, isn't it?
Yeah, with Mrs. or Jesus.
Hercules.
Yeah, with all of that stuff, you know.
Well, this was 2002, and didn't Shrek come out the same year?
It's around the same area. I don't want to say it is.
Senior year of high school.
So I think that I don't know. I feel like he is just made a really poor choice with it, you know. And the kind of real brief history of this was, you know, the idea of this was in the mid-80s, according to, this is just straight from Wikipedia.
The idea of this movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a script went through revisions and you know, there's a bunch of people supposedly that had worked on it. And then finally when they went and filmed the movie, it sat on the shelf for 2 years before being released.
Oh, they probably waited until Shrek was released and then released this one.
Yeah, maybe, because it's like it was done in 2000 in September, and then it wasn't released until August of 2002.
Well, the thing that makes me mad about it, and I know you said we should talk about like missed opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this had the potential, like just the blanket idea. We're in the future. We're on the moon. We got nightclubs and we got shit going on.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been done ridiculously better than it was.
Yes.
Cause I love future movies. Like what does this person or this group of people think that the future is going to be like? And I was super disappointed.
Yeah. Well, what I don't get. Okay. And I guess getting into the actual movie, like it starts out and we have Jay Mohr and Eddie Murphy and, you know, and I think, Jay Mohr can be funny. Like, I think it's one of those rare guys that's much funnier, it seems, in real life or when he's on the radio than he is in films.
Right. Well, and I feel like he almost cameos as Jay Mohr pretending to be somebody in a bit.
Yeah. 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 Because he's really not good.
No.
In this. And especially at the beginning, I'm like, oh boy, like this is, this is really rough. And you know, after that is where, you know, we have these kind of shots at the moon and we have all of this stuff that's, you know, we have these exterior shots and later we, you know, we get these different, modes of transportation that are supposed to be futuristic. And so I'm like,
cars.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, I can see the money on the screen. Like I can see that they're spending money, but it just seems like it's put in the wrong spot. Like it's just wasted.
I agree with you. Like it, I don't know. It just, it's really hard to watch a movie like this. Cause like I watch movies about the future now. And they're like 10 times more ridiculous. You know, like I'm thinking like, Elysium or something, you know.
Oh, sure.
Just the special effects and the idea of the, you know, cause you like, you're watching this now and you're like, okay, the cover of Time has a CD player on it. So, I mean, it's just dated cause it's been.
Yeah, 12 years. Yeah. Or 14 years, I guess.
So, I mean, I screwed myself on that in the first place, but. It just feels like they were like, okay, let's get a car and put like futuristic around the outside of it. And then like, that's a cool car.
Yeah. And I guess, like, I guess part of the problem is I don't understand what Neil Cuthbert, who is credited as being the writer and Ron Underwood, who directed the film. Like, I don't understand what they were going for. Like, I think that there's something to be said for spending a lot of money and like having this vision and then having it not work, right? Like I think that's fine. That, like that's interesting. This, I don't know what the hell they're doing, what the hell they're even doing.
Right. Because you don't know, like in future movies now, you know, most of them are like, we blew ourselves up or got in a fight with machines.
Yeah.
And it's like devastation. But like, I was really excited for this because it's like, we're actually still thriving as human people.
Yeah, they're just on the moon, and they have like the smallest bit of a little bit of commentary where they're talking about how, oh, you view Earthers different or whatever. It was something like a classist kind of thing that Elysium does.
Yeah,
you know, it was something that was, you know, just a one line that was in there that was similar. And I was like, oh, well, that's kind of interesting. Maybe they'll do something. And I'm like, nope, they're just fucking around on the moon.
Trying to make casinos.
Yeah. And you know, one of the other future movies that I don't know how well it did. I don't think it was really regarded as being that well, that good of a movie, but, I remember seeing AI not super long ago.
Okay.
But.
I saw it a long time ago, but.
Yeah, and that was something that I thought was really interesting, even though it may not have worked, in all the ways that it was trying to work.
Right.
And so, you know, that is another one where it's not like the future is horrible or anything. It's just a different
You
wanna setting.
Have sex with Jude Law Robot, you can't.
That's right. Gigolo Joe. here you can have sex with, Bruno. Randy Quaid, who is the creepiest looking robot.
What's funny about that though is like, I absolutely hate Randy Quaid.
What?
I do not enjoy him.
Even as Cousin Eddie?
Well, that's the only time.
Okay. I like him in that, and I think he's fun in Independence Day.
Yeah, but I mean like,
he's just a he's like the dark side of Eddie.
Loud, sloppy, drunk person. What's Randy Quaid doing today? I don't know. He might be out of rehab. And so I'm not going to say he had a stellar performance, but it was semi-refreshing to have him just not show up and be like, you know, like slobbering all over and just like passing out and falling over.
Yeah, I can see that.
He's the dad in Not Another Teen Movie.
Oh, is that right?
Like, he's the drunk dad and he drops her off and he goes,
Oh, yes.
Oh, you'll have to get a ride home, honey. And she's like, why, Daddy? Do you have a job interview? And he's like, no, I'll just be drinking. And she's like, oh, that's good. You shouldn't drive. He goes, oh, I'll be driving. I'll just be way too shit-faced to remember to pick you guys up.
That's his lane.
Yeah.
And he knows it. I do. Yeah, so I put, oh, my God, Randy. Like, I didn't enjoy that part as much as you did, because I put, come on now, Cousin Eddie. You know, that was my note about him, because I see him and I'm like, oh, I can just imagine the behind the scenes of this, where he's like, really, I gotta put this fucking shit on again? All right.
Well, you needed the money.
Yeah. But, you know, and that's part of the problem for me is, not only do I not know what the film is trying to do or trying to be, but the production design is just so bad.
Yeah.
You know, it really, really reminded me of watching, like, Galaxy Quest, to where you're watching a movie and it's making fun of something that's, or like Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Okay.
Where they're doing the Blunt Man and Chronic stuff.
Oh, sure.
And I'm like, that's what that looks like to me.
Yeah, it looks like a, yeah.
It's just, you know, obviously but it's just so clearly set looking.
Yeah.
It's just, ugh, I was really having a problem with that. And so I was kind of like, God, I hope this production designer got fired or something. Or maybe it was like their first job. Or
they were getting drunk with Randy Quaid before.
Yeah. And so my main problem, I guess, was that I felt like it wasn't really funny enough to be a comedy. But it certainly wasn't interesting enough to be a drama or like an action adventure film or anything. So it's just like this weird mash of shit that just...
That's kind of where I was. Like, it either needed to be way funnier or, cause like, I could give a shit less who blew up your club. Like, even at that point, I was like, I really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I was following the story and the story's line is simple enough, you know? And I'm just, Matt, what's the hot girl's name in this?
Oh, Rosario Dawson.
Yeah. I feel like she's like very pretty, but like, I mean, I just was not, I mean, I felt like she was just delivering lines after she had just read them in her trailer.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was a film that Jennifer Lopez had originally been attached to.
Oh God.
I don't know that, I believe it says that, I think she, let's see. Yeah, she was cast, but then turned it down. And then Rosario Dawson was cast in her place.
Well, I mean, as far as character goes, I would have a hard time seeing Jennifer Lopez as a nice, naive young girl from anywhere.
Well, yeah, she's Jenny from the block.
Right.
Right?
She's from Southside Bronx.
Yeah, so Rosario Dawson, who, you know, this is, I don't know, I should look things up before just talking out of my ass, but whenever Clerks 2 came out, whenever Clerks 2 came out, she was playing the, like, sort of dorky girl that hooks up with Dante.
Right.
And I was like, what the fuck is that about? Like, no way is that going to happen.
Ever.
Right.
Even
and then
fire.
It's like the same sort of, like, I guess it's not really the same idea now that I think about it, because, you know, Pluto Nash is kind of like the swinging bar owner.
Right. But I can honestly say, I'm sure you have the same opinion that you've never been attracted to Eddie Murphy, but.
Mm.
Some people might. Oh, you're not sure?
I don't know. Beverly Hills Cop's pretty good.
Right? Da, da, da.
You know, I really enjoy Metro, too, is a film that he was in that I liked.
I'll have to check that out. But I really want Rosario Dawson to be successful because there is something about her that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like she either doesn't get opportunities to take, like, bigger roles or... Cause like I mean in this movie she wasn't very good, but I've seen a couple where she, you know, she's done acting and she was really cute in Men in Black.
Well, she was, like I thought she was okay for what she was being asked to do in Sin City.
Sort of. I mean, I wasn't buying that for a second. But.
Because that's more like stylized noir / kind of stage performance type stuff.
But I mean, you could find someone a little bit more dirty to play, who could have played that part and I would have, oh, I get it.
That's true.
But she's so cute. Like she has those big eyes and like.
Yeah, she is very pristine looking.
Yeah.
You know? Like she's very dollish.
Yeah. And I just want the best for her.
I just want to just cuddle her and say, you need to make some better choices on your scripts.
We just need to go have a drink.
Yeah.
And to talk to her about the types of movie. I mean, I'm going to be like, I'm going to be real with you. If it says Eddie Murphy in it right now, don't do it. Don't do it.
Maybe it's animated. Then you can give it a read through.
Totally different. Yeah.
Maybe she's just got a tremendous imagination. So when she's reading these scripts, she's like, oh, this is going to be the best. And then when she gets there, she's like, whoa, this is not the thing I thought it was.
This is not what I wanted.
Yeah.
I guess she has 9 upcoming projects, but.
Ooh, busy girl.
Clerks 3.
Oh, that's right. You know, I did see a thing that said that was shooting soon, and I was like, oh, damn, Rachel is right.
And Sin City 2.
Yeah.
Yuck.
I have seen the trailer for that, so I know that that's a thing.
Well, I hope that her future movies just are just a little bit more powerhouse, so, like, people realize that she's good. So,
yeah, okay. I can see that. I think that some of the other stuff that I thought was particularly...
stupid.
Painful, yes, or stupid... is this moon battle sequence we have, right? It's like maybe the worst like moon gravity stuff I've ever seen.
In like her purple moon suit.
Oh my god, it was so bad. You know, they're doing like these fights and it's like, oh, they kind of have gravity, but then they kick and then there's like no gravity at all. And
right.
You know, what I was astounded by is I wonder how much of the money that this wasted went to the cast. Because for, like, I just don't understand how John Cleese and,
you know. Hank Greer?
Yeah, like Joey Pants. I don't want to say his last name. The dude from The Matrix and Memento.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, Randy Quaid, Eddie Murphy, Rosario Dawson, Luis Guzman. You know,
oh,
Peter,
yeah.
Peter Boyle, Pam Grier.
Luis Guzman works for Corona, though.
Yeah, the...
No, I don't need any money. I don't need any money.
I don't want it, actually. Don't give it to me. Can't make me. But, so yeah, so I don't know. I thought that for a huge flop, it had a pretty good cast.
Right?
Yeah, and, you know, we haven't said, I did mention that it lost a lot, but the box office was $7 million. Like, that is so low. That's embarrassingly low.
Because, I don't know. It's just, it probably wasn't the right time. And if I saw a trailer for this movie, there's no way on God's green earth I would spend money at the movie theater to watch this.
Yeah, I love the tagline too. It's the man on the moon with man underlined.
The thing about that is like, they don't really, like he owns a nightclub, but apparently everyone on the earth and the moon knows him.
Yes.
And, like, they only delve into it when, like, someone name drops. And he's like, oh, I know that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't really see a lot of suave coming from Eddie Murphy, I guess.
Yeah, like, it depends. Like, I can see it when he's in, like, Beverly Hills Cop or 48 Hours or...
But that's more, like, smartassy.
Okay. Kind of.
And this is, like, I feel like he's supposed to be, like, George Clooney in this movie, to be honest with you.
Oh, where he's supposed to be a little more slick?
Like, debonair and...
You're not talking, like, you know, he's not playing Regal, like in... like in Coming to America, or he's not playing,
No.
He's not playing a,
No, watch the royal penis in this.
It's not doing, like, some, Trading Places. It's not doing anything like that, huh?
No.
Okay. Sorry, my freaking deal just went crazy on me there.
Oh, that's all right. I even like Pam Grier as his mom. Like,
yeah.
Pam Grier, to me, is frightening. Like, if she slapped me in the face, the only thing I could say to her was thank you, because I wouldn't want to offend her.
She's got like a... Like, there's no real nice way to say it, but she's got, like, this leathery look to her. Like, she's got, like, this, like, I don't know if it's just, like, muscular or, like, just, a, like, a, this tough look about her. And I'm always like, hell no. Like, I ain't fucking with Jackie Brown. Like, get the fuck out of here.
But I feel like her whole, like, her being here was so wasted.
Oh, sure.
Like, oh, it's my mom's.
Yeah, because she's not in there, you know, it's not like... You know, Polly or or Peter Boyle even, or Luis Guzman, who's in there to have like a comedic bit. You know, she's not, it's not Pam Grier. You don't bring Pam Grier in to play funny.
Right. And I guess I don't even understand, not just Pam Grier, but I mean, like, I don't understand why that mom part was even in there, because she just showed up and shot some people, and then, like, they didn't really talk about her ever again.
Yeah. Yeah. I do like that, after this came out, you know, it won a lot of awards for worst picture, worst actor, worst director, worst screenplay, worst screen couple, which is the twist at the end that we'll talk about in a second. And then it, in an interview with Barbara Walters, Eddie Murphy said that he knows, two or three people that liked the movie. So that's good. But yeah, so what did you think of the big reveal, of the big twist? That's exactly right. Like, deflated balloon. It was like the fucking balloon is just laying there, not even blown up to begin with. And it somehow got even more deflated after I saw that.
The big twist is basically encapsulating the entire movie, which was, it was a nice try, but it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah. I feel is like a lot of components of this movie all smashed together in a really gross sandwich. on it.
Yeah. Because, you know, for those that haven't seen it, and I would suggest...
Spoiler alert!
Yeah, I would suggest not seeing it. But, you know, you hear this name of this guy that's behind it all, and then it turns out that it's a clone of Eddie Murphy. And so then you have Eddie Murphy and himself fucking around. And
shoot wrestling. Him! Shoot him!
It's me! Oh, don't you know it's me, dummy! And all that, and you're like, oh, God.
Dummy.
Yeah, they didn't say dummy. It'd be funnier if
this is. Dummy's too cool for that.
Yeah. So that was just, I was like, the clone twist, ugh, is all I wrote about
right?
that.
Right? Because what, I mean, I don't know.
You know, and I thought, even when they try for like the romantic bits.
Oh, God.
They're, you know, looking up at the stars and they have this kiss, and I'm like, oh, this kiss is like especially terrible. You know, it's just, I felt like I was just watching them in my backyard and I was pretending to be a director. And it was like, oh yeah, now you say this line and then you guys will kiss after that. And I'm, you know, I felt like it was something that just, it was like a student film or something.
Yeah,
it was just,
and you
so
had
poorly
to talk
done.
Rosario Dawson down from trying to leave.
Yeah. No. I got some more money for you.
No, but I don't want to kiss him. He's just coming.
Yeah. So I mean, my final thought was, it's just such a piece of shit, like in every way. It's just so bad.
It is really bad. And it's just waste. Like, it's so, like you said, there were some good ideas that just were horribly wasted.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it's like,
for me,
I don't know if I'm interested in the general premise, but I think in the hands of someone skillful, they could have made something out of it.
Yeah.
You know, at least
they would have had to have a sit down, first of all, and decided whether they wanted it to be a funny movie or...
Yes, yes.
Because it would have been kind of badass if you think about it. Like, you're on the moon, you run a club, like, you make it a little bit dirtier, put some, like, other actors in there, get some swear words, get some grit going.
Gotta get them swear words.
Jake Moore is replaced by someone completely different who gets like the shit kicked out of him at the beginning, and like all of a sudden shit gets real.
Yeah, why was it that Jay Moore wasn't, I just assumed he would be the bad guy.
Right, me too.
That would make so much more sense than it to be a clone of Eddie Murphy.
So that's exactly what I thought too. I thought it was Jay Moore the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have done some monologue about how I'm always a fuck up and you're always having to bail me out and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And now it's my, you know, something.
Sure. And then you would think that, you know, Jay Moore would get to like scream, on screen while he's delivering his lines, which is kind of the best thing that he does. You know, when he's yelling and
yeah,
acting.
I don't know.
So I don't know, but so yeah, this didn't make anything in the actual box office, but surprisingly in DVD rentals, which is not factored into this, to these numbers, but in the DVD rental, it made $25 million.
Really?
So it had, in comparison, it did three times as much money in DVDs as it did in the box office.
go get a DVD.
So.
Wasn't this when Redbox was getting good?
I don't, well, this is 2002. So that was a while ago. I don't know that Redbox was really that widespread at that time.
So I think, you know, like, I have talked about having to make a couple phone calls to Christopher Nolan.
Right.
Just to go over some lists of things that I have to talk to him about. And I think I'm going to pitch this to him.
Wow. Who's going to be your person that's an evil clone of himself? Is it going to be George Clooney?
It's going to have to be X'd out completely. Oh. The end of that. No. No way.
So you want George Clooney to be the suave guy?
I don't think so. I just watched Gravity, so I threw George Clooney out there.
Oh, okay.
Probably Superman.
Henry Cavill's getting cats and everything.
Yeah.
And it's going to be like sort of a, you know, Gigolo Joe kind of thing, you know what I'm saying?
He's going to bang a lot of chicks in this. There's going to be boobies everywhere. And there's going to be nothing funny about it because it's going to be like serious, legit stuff. And when the nightclub is blown to bits, one of his, like, best friends dies, of course.
Oh, wow.
So he's, like, a vendetta going on.
Sounds great.
Right?
So, I stopped listening after you said the boobies, but it sounds good.
So, Christopher Nolan, I know you're listening. You can call. You got myself.
You can either call me or I'll call you, you know, in a little bit. Whatever.
Lunch.
Okay, well, do you have anything else to say about that? Well, like, what did you... I guess we didn't really say this. Was this... painful for you, or was it something where you're like, oh, whatever, or like, what did you think about it in general?
I feel like it honestly wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, I feel like there's worse movies that we've seen for this show.
Right, Old Boy, and like, I feel like it was kind of like if I would have been like a teenager or a tween or something, it might have been like more entertaining, or I'm not really sure how it could have been more entertaining, but it honestly, it wasn't painful. It was just like hard to pay attention.
Sure. Yeah. It was, you know, it was definitely worse than mediocre, but it wasn't like, I don't know. Like, I don't think that the performances were particularly bad, except for I didn't like Randy Quaid. So, I think outside of that, like, it's just like, oh, this isn't any good.
Right.
What's going on? This isn't good.
It wasn't like I cringed whenever a certain person talked or something like that. It was just like, eh.
Yeah. Like, I would rather watch this again than, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Just because of that fucking kid. I couldn't stand that kid. So anyway, do you have anything else about that one?
No.
All right. Well, let's move on to our number four flop of all time. And it is 2001, the previous year. And it is Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within.
The dream is always the same.
You okay?
We found it. We're closing in on the life form.
Let's move out, people. They came to unlock a mystery. I don't see how any living thing could survive out here. They came to uncover an ancient truth.
This is it.
Dr. Ross has opened the door for us.
I say we go in.
What they did...
What the hell is that?
...was unleash a force... unlike the universe has ever known.
What the hell is going on?
Something's not right. It shouldn't be happening.
We're surrounded.
They're right behind us.
Captain, come on.
We've lost contact.
Oh, my God.
Let's get the hell out of here.
Nothing you've seen... nothing you've experienced can prepare you.
Look out!
For where the next evolution in reality will take you.
All right, everybody, here they come.
Fire in the hole!
It is not a fairy tale. It is true.
In the year 2065, the next great assault against an invading race of phantom-like aliens is about to be launched. Dr. Aki Ross, a brilliant young scientist, races to find the invader's secrets, not only to save the planet, but herself as well, after her body's infected by alien particles. God, she teams up with the prestigious Deep Eyes military squadron, led by her old friend Gray Edwards, but as Aki, her mentor Dr. Sid, and Gray work toward a peaceful end, the scheming General Hind devises a plot to eradicate the aliens in one swift, destructive blow, even if it destroys the Earth right along with them. That was really hard for me.
Yeah, you sounded like me today.
Right, I'm almost done with my beer, I don't know.
So this is estimated as anywhere from 96 million to 136 million. So it's kind of like, you know, if you go on the low end there, it wouldn't be anywhere close to some of these other films. But I'll just take them at their word for the high end, and I think that's what Wikipedia also does. Mm. So it lost $136 million. And for those that maybe don't know anything about this whatsoever, it is a completely CGI film. And it is obviously based on Final Fantasy, the video games. And so this is something that did, according to, you know, again, Wikipedia, it says that the actual budget was 137, and the box office was 85 million. So, you know, outside of the other, like, you know, marketing the movie and all of the other, like, extra costs that go into the budget, that's a whole separate thing. But it did make $85 million.
Wow.
You know, which is a fuckload lot more than Pluto Nash did. So what did you think of this? Have you ever played a Final Fantasy game? Were you aware of it at all? Or what was your reaction to this movie?
No.
That's my reaction. It was no.
Just in general, no.
Capital N.
Had heard that Final Fantasy was a video game. I had never seen or played it. I thought I was going to be watching some sort of ninja movie.
Okay.
So I was vaguely disappointed when I realized after the lightning strikes at the beginning that it was CGI. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I just started getting angrier and angrier.
Right.
Horrible pile of shit movie. I can't even begin.
Wow. I think you disliked this one more than me. I certainly didn't like it.
Nope.
It was certainly not one that I enjoyed. You know, on Cameron's show, Filmographies, we just recorded some Miyazaki films, which is the, like the Japanese Walt Disney is what his sort of nickname is.
Okay.
But it's a lot of like, animation from Japan. And so we went over his first three films, and I didn't really latch onto them. Like, it wasn't films that I particularly enjoyed. I liked the third one quite a bit, but the first two I really, really didn't enjoy, and I was kind of the odd man out on that. And so when I said that we were going to discuss this film, Cameron was like, you can't tell me that you liked Final Fantasy more than these other ones. And so I didn't. I didn't enjoy the film whatsoever. But I do think that I can look at it in with the eyes of it being 2001 and having it all CGI. Like I can appreciate the amount of time that it would have taken.
Sure.
And the work that it would have
taken. Obviously not in the writing, but in the CGI part.
Yes. That's, you're reading my damn notes. That's exactly what I was going to say, was that, you know, it can look as good as possible, which it frankly doesn't. Like, some of it looks fine, but some of it I'm like, oh my God, it's like Barbie and Ken just getting moved around. But it was so fucking boring. Like, it was so boring, and it was so poorly written.
Horrible. And that horrible dialogue.
Oh, I mean, so the beginning, we have this dream recorder that she has, right?
Which would be sweet, by the way.
Well, I said I would never want that sort of thing, because I would like to be like, all right, well, that was in a dream, right? I wouldn't want to be able to actually delve into the depths of my psyche and be like, oh.
You are kind of fucked up.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, I was dreaming about that. Fuck that. Sorry about it. I didn't mean it. You know, it's like, maybe if I'm the only one who ever would get to see it ever.
Right.
Maybe I'd check out my
scripted dream journal.
Yeah. But I don't know that that's a public consumption kind of thing, where it's like, oh, hey, here's this disc. You want to just...
Well, I don't think she was doing it for public consumption. She was trying to figure out why aliens were going into her dreams.
Yeah. But I felt like from the very beginning, it was watching someone play a video game.
Oh, it totally was.
Yeah, it was just sitting there watching someone else play a video game. Or like now, you know, there's a lot of cutscenes and a lot of more modern video games. And it's just like watching that.
It was, exactly. Like watching, I wrote that. Mm-hmm. I hate real life PlayStation games, so this is horribly annoying, is what I wrote.
Yeah.
The only video game I've ever watched is, what is it called? It's some PlayStation game that Brad plays, and it's got like puzzles in it, and so I help him with them.
Oh.
That's the only thing, like he does the shooting thing, cause my hand-eye coordination is like absolutely nothing, so. He has to do the shooting parts, but then I do the puzzle, and like, that's fun for me, but it was exactly like this, with like less shooting, I think. Or I don't fucking know. It just made me angry. You know what this reminded me of? When we were talking about Pluto Nash couldn't decide whether it wanted to be funny or serious, this couldn't decide whether it wanted to be a taken seriously movie that happened to be in CGI or a, it reminded me of like a Nickelodeon show.
Oh, okay.
That like preteens would come home from school and be like, let's watch Final Fantasy TV show.
Mm.
Because like that's what like the kids I used to nanny, like they were some stupid shit on like this. And I was like, okay, well I'm leaving. I'm gonna go read a book or something.
Sure. Yeah, I can see that. I can see where it's like it's not I guess my whole question is why is it animated? Like what is the benefit of it?
Because Final Fantasy is animated.
Well,
right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a video game, but like, I didn't understand. I mean, what, you know, one of the notes I wrote was, why are you going to animate this if you're going to have two people for 10 full minutes at a time just talking back and forth?
Yeah, that's just true.
Talk about nothing. That means it doesn't mean anything.
No.
And I'm like, this is so dull. Like I was just watching it going, oh God, hurry up. Like, this is the longest 808 minutes ever.
It really was. Like, I just, and the other thing about it is, like, I can't understand how so many people sign on to be the voices for these people.
Yeah, you know what? I thought that, I kind of liked Donald Sutherland as the doctor.
Okay. I mean, everyone was okay.
I was kind of really distracted by Steve Buscemi.
Right? If he's not, if he's not his real face or like at Monsters University, then I don't like him.
That's exactly right. I said, you know, the Buscemi character is annoying because it's not him. He's too pretty.
Yeah.
And that's part of the appeal of that character or of that voice is that it's this kind of goofy looking guy. And so he has to overcompensate by the way that he talks and his sense of humor and that sort of thing. Like if it's just this normal looking, good looking guy, then he's just a fucking dickhead.
They wasted a lot of money on that alone, I'm assuming. They
I would think.
Somebody off the street and been like, guess what? Cause he didn't have that many lines.
Well, you think that, I mean, if someone's gonna go see this movie, or if they're on the fence, they're not gonna say, oh, James Woods and Ving Rhames and Alec Baldwin, they're in this? Oh, I'm fucking going now. Cause I can hear their voice. Fuck that. Like, they're either gonna go based on it being CGI or based on it being Final Fantasy, or they're not gonna go, regardless of who the voices are.
Maybe one person has, like, a really weird Ving Rhames fetish that we don't know about.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, he's probably one of the guys that put the, you know, Aki or whatever her name, Aki Ross,
mm-hmm.
in the, like, the top whatever sexiest women when this came out.
Right, after his mom made him meatloaf and brought it down to the basement where he lives.
Yeah, and I was like, what the fuck? You know, I just could not believe the choices not to make this, you know, it's like you have an unlimited budget in some sense. And I mean, obviously you don't because you have to animate everything, but it's like, why waste the time of having them just stand around?
Well, someone should have read the script and been like, we're not making a movie until the script is way better.
Yeah.
Because we're writers and like, that's like obviously what I gravitate toward, but I mean, it's like the meat and potatoes of the whole movie. If the script sucks, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, everything else is going to suck along with it.
Sure. Yeah, I guess, you know, I kind of understand the idea of, oh, okay, everything has a spirit within it, whether sure. it's...
So did Pocahontas. It's
sure.
No problem.
That's right. And so that part's fine. I think what I don't get is it's like, you don't get any introduction to any of the characters, right? And I get the idea of, oh, well, don't just say, hey, my name is blah, and I am here because of this. But it's like, why the fuck do I care about any of these people whatsoever?
Because apparently, like, this wasn't made for us. This
oh, was absolutely it wasn't, yeah.
For people who have been playing Final Fantasy forever and have watched all the other movies, because apparently there are more than one. Because I Googled Final Fantasy, and they're like, which one? And I was like, what do you mean?
The one.
The movie of it.
Yeah, I would think that, I don't know, like, I just, you know, when you get Captain Gray and you get,
It's so cliche and is over the top melodramatic and it's just too much for me to handle.
Well, and I would think, you know, okay, that, you know, again, spoilers on a film that did horribly and is not worth watching, but, you know, when most of these characters die, right?
What?
I would think, like, all right, well, at least make them connect and at least make them have like a friendship and they're all kind of like got through something and now they're all bonding and then they start getting pulled apart and killed.
Right.
Like that's what you would generally expect. But this is like she doesn't give a fuck about any of these people except for, you know, Alec Baldwin's guy.
Gray.
Yeah. And... So,
and she's hot and cold. She's
yeah. Like, and then even then, you know, and I think that the lack of modeling for, or the lack of, acting by this model has a lot to do with it because, you know, even if the actress is trying to put some emphasis into the voice.
Yeah.
When they're just sitting there staring at you like they're made out of plastic and especially like they have the soulless eyes about them and the mouths always look weird.
And they're also pretty, like, somebody needs to be gross.
Yeah, everyone's very, they're just very phony looking. Like, you know, I mean, I know it's CGI, but they just don't look right.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't look good.
Well, and the girl who did the voice was Mulan, which is like the jam of a movie.
Sure.
And she just, I felt like she was just like, why the fuck am I doing this?
Because she's, you know, at least like Donald Sutherland's having fun. It seems like James Woods, you know, is being a bad guy. So he's eating that right. shit up. But like, I feel like
Shin was like high. So he was. Okay.
Yeah. Ming-Na, who plays Aki Ross, I feel like she has to be so earnest and like, well, here's what we got to do to save everything.
Yeah, and it's super important. This thing is, I'm just so driven on this one thing and like, I don't know. She just read the script and was like, okay, well I already signed the contract, so I don't really have a choice.
Mm-hmm. It just didn't, oh man, I just really was struggling. Like I tried watching this maybe 3 or 4 times.
I actually left the room for about 5 minutes to go find something, and I told Brad to watch it for me and tell me what happened. And I came back, and his eyes were all glazed over, and I'm like, what happened? And he goes, I honestly don't know.
Yeah, and that's where I fell into the camp of this not being for us, you know, because I'm at the beginning even, and they're, you know, having like, she's stepping on the ground, but then you can see through the ground and up at her foot, and I'm like, what the fuck is, like, what's going on? And you right. find out it's a dream, but I don't know. Like I was just having a really hard time grasping onto anything.
Yeah, and you're probably right. It would be like if they made like Sherlock Holmes the next one and like didn't, you know, like, and it's somebody who's been like never followed them.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, they show Robert Downey Jr. or whatever, and I'm instantly hooked, blah blah blah. It's just like the type of, and they don't have to introduce him because I already know who his character is. I've been through a lot with him.
Sure.
So this is like this for me. It's so foreign to me.
Mm-hmm.
So foreign. Like I have never seen a video game or anything of this. So I was just like, I tried poking my eyes out and Brad like stopped me.
It's like, look, we haven't even been married that long. Like,
I don't need you with an eye patch.
That's right. It's good. Yeah, so some of the things that I did like I said, I was trying to be positive. Sure. I did think that the kind of gross designs of the phantom things were okay. I thought that they had potential, I wrote, but
it looked like what is that stuff that you could get from Nickelodeon? It was like goose or something.
Oh, the ooze or the,
you know what I'm talking about? It's green.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me. I thought that was pretty cool too.
So I thought that was all right. I just didn't like the, like, it was either too transparent or not transparent enough because I couldn't figure out, like, so they could touch them or they couldn't.
Right.
But you could see through them.
Too. You can, like, fight spirits.
Yeah, so and then you find out that they're ghosts, but it's like, well, what the like, what? So. Yeah. What makes them a ghost? Like, they can still touch things and do stuff. So, how? I was just like, how does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I thought that compared to Pluto Nash, like I thought that this at least was attempting to. It was at least trying to manipulate you with the deaths. And so I was like, oh, okay. Well, at least they're trying to make me feel something. They're not just throwing this turd on screen and it's
but
just
I
like.
I feel like it was like, my reaction to this, I feel like was not nearly as horrible as your reaction to Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Cause I was like, they're trying to be over the top with all the feelings and I'm just going to tell them all the fuck off.
Yeah.
It's like he died at the, no offense, everyone, sorry. He died at the end and I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, sure. Sure. You know, I thought that I did like that, the alien Gaia or whatever, the yellow looking thing, the orange looking thing at the end. I thought that looked
main thing?
The main bad thing that gets turned good. The yeah, alien thing.
It was huge. It looked kind of like an orange tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was kind of interesting looking, you know, design wise. I can appreciate that. But, again, it was like, you know, Gray's in this spot where he's like, oh fuck, I'm trying to keep them all off me, but then when the big fucker comes through and just kills him, it's like, well, why doesn't that thing just fly everywhere and just kill them all?
He like chooses to die for some reason, like, which I feel like is semi-pointless, but whatever. At that point I was like not trying to wrap my head around.
Yeah, you're like, look,
I'm like, okay, I get this, there are weird particles that look kind of like poop in your body. And I can help you get around that.
You can like shoot them sort of with lasers, but you have this force field.
Them in your body.
Yeah, and that was another thing. It's like when they all get arrested, right?
Yeah.
And they all, it's like, hey, let's put them all in rooms across from each other
with like laser barriers.
Yeah, and so it's like, hey, what should we do when we get out of here? Oh, I don't know. I think we should do this. All right, cool. And then it just turns off. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, they didn't have to do anything. It's like, oh, yeah, hey, we don't have time to fuck around with this whole you being caught stuff, so you're free to go.
Right.
That's what I felt like the script was
like. Well, I just don't understand, like, arrest her on the spot for treason or whatever. Like, for what?
Because because he was trying to blow the whole fucking earth up, don't you know? Because James Woods was like, I'm going to kill them all. You know, and it's trying to do a little bit of that Ahab stuff where it's like he's so obsessed.
Yeah.
He's just going to destroy. He doesn't give a shit what he kills as long as he kills those things. But it's like, why? What's his motivation? He just is pissed at them?
Because he's like being a baby because his plan didn't work about using the Thor laser, whatever this is, Zeus.
Zeus. So he's just like, I'm just killing everybody. That, you know, that's like that, the Thor 2 problem that I had where it's like the bad guy just wants to destroy everything. Like, what the fuck? Like, how could that be a thing?
Or like Superman where he just threw it because it didn't go his way.
Yeah. So I don't know. I was like really doing a lot of eye rolling and the little one was watching this with me for a little while. And she was kind of like, oh, those are gross about the orange things, you know? And I was like, what do you think about that? And she's like, I'm glad it's over. Can I go play?
Right?
I said, Yes, you are wise beyond your 5 years.
Yeah, I really feel like the wheelhouse for this is people who very much enjoy Final Fantasy.
I think you have to.
And like 11 to 12 year old boys.
Yeah, it's like you've got to know who all of these guys in the Deep Eyes, which is, that's a terrible name for a group.
Right?
The Deep Eyes. Mm-hmm. I thought it sounds like something from like a Harlequin novel.
Oh, I was thinking porn, but that makes
sense. Oh, all right. But, see, I go for the trashy romance and you just go for the porn.
What?
Same ballpark.
Actually.
Yeah. But I thought that was such a terrible name, but I feel like if you're playing the games, you probably know who all of those people are. I would guess.
Yeah, maybe... I'm assuming, cause they like made like a couple of references to like how she's getting old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, so she has to be like a recurring character.
Yeah, and you would have you had the one real butch woman to where they're like, oh, she called you a guy or whatever.
See, everything about it was cliche.
And they were flirting there, and I was like, oh, this isn't any good. So I don't know. It's one of those where, like, if you watch this out of the blue, would you think that this was in the top 5 of biggest box office flops? Or would you not think about the amount of money that would have gone into putting it together?
I wouldn't think that, because, like, almost, like, you can watch so many CGI or computer animated movies now that, like, I have no idea. Like, I just feel like anybody can make one.
Sure.
I mean, if you asked me to watch a series of movies and tell you which one I thought was the worst, and this one's in the group, I would probably put it toward the top.
Right. Nice. I like how we're finding bottom here. It's good. Yeah, I don't know. I think that, you know, that it just kind of shows you what 13 years can do, right? Like, you watch a movie now that could be similar to this, and it could make, you know, probably a third of the money, and it wouldn't be anywhere near this much of a flop.
Right. Yeah, you're right. But I mean, I feel like with most things, like, maybe that's why. Because it was so long ago, and they thought, we don't really need to put a lot into the script because this is so, like, fun to watch, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that, where now it's like, oh shit, we actually have to have a plot.
Yeah, it's like everyone is doing this now, so now we have to put like more into the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so, this was rough. I mean, this was bad. So, I don't know, like, I think that for what it was, I understand that it was a difficult thing to do, but that doesn't necessarily make it a good movie. You know, it's kind of like you gotta judge the movie based on if the movie's good, not it was the first time they used this technique, or it was the first CGI film, or what have you, but it was really rough for me to get through.
Yeah, I just kept thinking, like, this was not made with me in mind.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely not. Okay, so I think that's it for Final Fantasy The Spirits Within. Unless you have anything else, Cruz, you could wrap us up.
Well, all I just put, let me see if I can find my notes. I put them away. To sum up the movie was Pocahontas meets Lara Croft Iron Man.
I like that massive. You could probably go into a company now and say, look, it's Pocahontas meets Iron Man. How much money are you giving me?
That would actually be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I promise it won't be like Final Fantasy.
Yeah, that's right. Give me all the dollars.
And Christopher then just, Nolan.
Yeah. Christopher Nolan, make it for me.
I think they should be like, you know, they have those shows like Beat Bobby Flay on like the Food Network.
Mm-hmm.
There should be like, challenge Christopher Nolan to take a shitty movie and remake it into a good movie.
Yeah, they did, what is the movie called? Lars von Trier that did Antichrist and, has Nymphomaniac coming out this year, and he did Melancholia.
Yes.
I can't remember what it's called, but he did a film where it was a friend of his had made, I think it's like The Seven Obstructions or something like that. But a friend of his had made a film that was really well regarded, and it was, okay, you have to remake the film, but you can't use this. And then it was you have to make the remake the film again, but now you can't use, you have to use all natural lighting or whatever.
Ew.
And so it would be, you know, completely, like he had one challenge, one obstruction that he couldn't do each time.
Oh, the seven obstructions. I thought you meant that was what the movie was called.
Yeah, I think that that's what the, I think it's a documentary, but I think that that's what the documentary is called.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And I think I watched it, but I don't know that I fully grasped, some of the jargon and some of what was happening.
Were there ghost aliens in it?
No, there wasn't any ghost aliens, cause I kind of walked away from it being like, I don't know, that, those all seem just as fucking dumb as the original one, so.
That's why you need Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, I guess. Americanize it, goddammit.
Do you ever, I'm just gonna go off on a tangent for 1 second.
Sure.
Do you know who Eddie Izzard is?
Yes.
Have you ever listened to his stand-up?
No.
Okay. He has this one where it's, he's talking about Americanizing films from British films because he's British. And he was talking about Room with a View. And have you ever seen it?
No.
I haven't either. It doesn't matter. Cause he's like doing this bit and he's like, and this is how Room with a View is. And he's like, someone walks in and they're like, oh, sorry, and he's like, what is it, Sebastian? I'm in here arranging matches. And like, that's the British. And then he's pretending to try to eat popcorn and he can't. And he's like, so they take it to America and they're like, you burst in and you're like, what the fuck are you doing in here arranging matches? What the fuck? And then he says like, there's an alien invasion and this guy's all yelling at him. And then he's like, calls him at the very end and he's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I broke your matches. And like, it's like this huge thing. And then he pretends that he's just like shoveling popcorn into his mouth.
He's oh, like, I like that.
Yeah. It was really funny, actually.
That was good.
I did it horribly. So if you ever want to like watch the real thing, you should look up Eddie Izzard.
Well, there you go.
All right. Well, I'm done.
Okay. Wrap us up then, Cruiser.
If you have any comments for the show or movies you'd like to hear us talk about, please feel free to email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show over at Twitter at plainlabelpod, where you can follow us at EricWilliams79, not 69.
Nope.
And at LadyZlang. We also have a Facebook page where you can like the show. Just search Plain Label Podcast. If you enjoy the show, which I know these movies were horrible, but we're hilarious.
Yeah, we had a good time not enjoying them.
And you wanted to help us out a little bit, head over to our website, plainlabelpodcast.tumblr.com. You can find Amazon links to these movies, and I'm sorry, don't buy these movies.
Yeah.
Recommended. But if you click on the links and purchase other movies that we've talked about, we get a little bit of that money at no additional cost to you. And since you're already over there, go ahead and click on the Amazon link that takes you to their homepage, our homepage, and bookmark it. Then anytime you purchase anything from Amazon, you'll be helping us out in the process. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back in 2 excruciating weeks with a look at number 3 and 2 biggest box office flops of all time.